Good evening, everyone. So lucky to be with you again. I haven't been with you since you've been here. It's so nice to see all of you and to just see what God is doing in you. And it's lucky for me to be able to bring our team and our guys with us. It's always a blessing to go out, and I know we're part of a bigger family. Amen. It's not just us and HMead AM or you in Pinehurst PM. I don't know if you have, or if you still call yourself Brackenfell, but Pinehurst PM, well done. I don't think the AM guys are listening, but they need to shift as well. But we'll just dig at them a little bit. Amen. So just something that I felt in worship as the team was ministering. I think it's so easy for us to look at these guys, and I'm so proud of them that they are these passionate worshipers of God that just want to give God everything, and that's what worship is all about. It's about passion for God. But it's something that, and this is just something that I felt so, I'm just trying to be obedient here, but it's something to look at a worship team and look at them and think that, man, these guys are so passionate. Look at how they are giving themselves. Look at their facial expressions. Because sometimes it's like, they are giving themselves to the uttermost. And sometimes it's so beautiful to see that, and it stirs us up to want to give more, even of ourselves, to God. But at the same time, I do want to say to us, that appearing passionate for God doesn't equal maturity in God. No, I think the thing that brings us into maturity in God is not how deep we can go into God, but actually how deep God can go into us. And I think that's so key for us, even tonight here, just as in some sense, what I'm feeling for us. Sorry. This happens sometimes. Often. But it really is. It's something. It's actually how deep God can go into us. That is what brings us into a place of actually knowing God and actually maturing this beautiful gift and the love of God that has been poured out into our lives. Amen. So, come on. Keep it together. So, funny enough, I kind of had a title, and it's just not sitting with me, but I feel like I need to go with it. So my title for this evening is Appealing Love. Okay? Appealing Love. And I want to start off by saying this, that for you as Pinehurst PM, man, I want to say to you, do you know how privileged you are with the leaders like Donnie, Johanre, Luke, Roland? Man, these leaders, they really, really love you. I spent a lot of time with Roland, and it's often that I hear just what God is doing in you. And I want to say to you, man, it's such a privilege. It's such a privilege for us to be part of people and leaders that love and lay down their lives and give their time and absolutely is there to see you find your destiny in God and be built up and matured in God. That is something that when you go outside of these walls, you struggle to find a selfless people. People that are willing to build into and love and give and dedicate themselves to someone else so that they might come into what is their God-given destiny. And sometimes it's not even that they know what your God-given destiny is, but they know what God's pattern is and what God requires of them. And they know that if they apply what God is requiring of them, it will lead to all of us coming into health. Amen? And so, It's kind of like where I want to kick off tonight. And Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12 is a piece of scripture that we are very well known to. Amen? But I'm going to read it for us quickly. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints," that's you and me, "for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." And so, there's a way of reading it where you can read it and you go like, man, I really need to make sure, or I really want to be part of the apostles, prophets, those guys. Like, that's the important part. But I believe there's a different vantage point to read that from. It's the vantage point of this, that God gave and set aside elders and deacons and apostles and prophets to serve and to be the ones that take care of what is most precious to Him, His church. To build them up, to put in place all the things so that this body of Christ grows, matures in love, and be this the thing that's gonna introduce and bring into the world, into the glory of what God has for it. Amen. And that's where I wanna say today, that being part of the body of Christ, that's something of the main point of everything. Is that we are no longer away from Him, but what we are now, part of Him. And that's where He places the apostles and the prophets and elders and all these structures around us, so that me and you can be built up in God. Do you hear that? Do you hear that you are precious to God in that? That He would send people to come and lay down their lives so that you can be built up. So that you can walk in what God has for you. Because man, He has a plan for you. There's not one of us that's sitting here this evening that God just goes like, this Donnie guy, I just don't know what to do with him. No. God knows exactly. God knows exactly the place that He holds. And that's the truth for each and every one of us. A bit later on in Ephesians 4, it speaks that each part of this body needs to do its bit so that the whole body can be built up. See, it's about the body of God. But the thing is, the way my body works and the way your body works, some of our bodies work better than other bodies, okay? But is every part on the inside of your body, even your skin and your hair on your face, on your legs, under your arms, on your head for some? Sorry, Donnie. Donnie's part of that, of his body is not working anymore, okay? But every part of our body, it's got a function. There's a reason why it's there. There's a reason why it needs to do its bit. And as it's doing its bit, it's all to make this body grow. To make this body be healthy. To make this body be able to move. Amen? And so tonight, as we come here, that is the thing that I want to kind of leave with us. My aim this evening is for us to see what the works of ministry is. Because when I read that scripture, what I read is the apostles, the fivefold, is given so that the saints can accomplish and do the work of ministry. Amen? And that work of ministry then flows out and causes the whole body to come into health. The whole body to grow. And so one can reason that if the saints does not do the work of ministry, what would happen to this body? It wouldn't grow. It wouldn't be in health. And so it's important for us to be able to define what is that work of ministry. And so tonight, I'm not coming with a new thing. I'm coming with the same thing that's been probably said for thousands of years. And I want to look at it, at what these works of ministry is and what it should look like. Amen. And so the kind of the chief portion of scripture that we're going to use tonight is 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to start in verse 11. Okay. And I'm going to read to us, to the guys at the back. I'm going to read out of the, let me read out of the ESV for the first bit. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known to you, known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you a cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. Okay, we're going to just stop there for a moment. So Paul is speaking to the people. And in some ways, he's saying to them, I'm not coming here to commend myself. I'm not coming here to build myself up to you. No. Actually, you know who we are, and God knows who we are. And that first part that he says there, he says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. That fear of the Lord, what he means there is we know that we serve a holy God. That God is a righteous judge, that he sees all things, he knows all things. And our lives are in front of him. And so as we are speaking to you, we're not speaking as those that are concerned about the outward appearance. We're not concerned about whether it looks good. No, we're concerned about the heart. Amen? And so he's coming and he's saying, like, this is who we are and this is why we are coming. And so even in the beginning, I said to us, you are blessed to have a leadership like you do have. Elders and deacons and community leaders that love you. And that's that very thing. They're not concerned about the outward appearance. They're concerned about the inward health. And how much we allow ourselves to be transformed by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. Amen. But now we pick it up here in verse 13. And he says, for we are beside ourselves. If we are beside ourselves, it's for God. Because they don't care what it looks like. Amen? They're like, we're going to be crazy for God. We're going to go for it. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. So that all of us can understand. Amen? So that we're not just all running around like headless chickens and just calling it spiritual. No. It's like we need to speak some sense as well. Okay? It's good. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake was raised. It's like, this is why we are here. We are here because of the love of God that absolutely compels us. It drives us. It convinces us. It burns in us. It's like we cannot but come to you. We cannot but share with you the love of Christ. So I want to jump a little bit just and read a couple of scriptures again in the New Living Translation. Because I just feel like it says it a little bit less. I'm Afrikaans, so I like it when it just feels a little bit different, okay? Not so like... Verse 13, it says, if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. And since we believe that Christ has died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Amen? And he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. And so as a place to start this evening, I want to say to us, Christ has died for all of us. For you, for me. There is not one here tonight that is excluded from that message. That Christ has died for your sins. Not one. And that is so important for us to know and understand tonight. And we can't force you to believe it. But I want to say to you, hold on to it. Don't let go until it comes to you. Because he has given his life absolutely so that you might come to him, so that the way to him is open. Amen? But the thing is, it's only for those who receive this new life that's been given that will spend eternity with him. It's only for those that receive it. For those that just hear it and not walk with it, actually it will avail no fruit. And so he encourages us this then, verse 15. He says he died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. It means they've received it, and in receiving it, there is a shedding and a leaving behind and a throwing away of the old and an accepting and a stepping into the new. And that's the way that we know we've received it. We know that we've received it by living it out. Amen? See, and this is the new covenant. This is the new message, the gospel that's been given to us. That there was a time that no matter what you did, you couldn't receive it. But now the time has come that it's not Jew or Gentile or Afrikaans or English or white or black or Zulu or Xhosa or Russian or Chinese. No. It's like every one of us here tonight have the opportunity and the ability to receive the new life that has been given to us. And this is God's heart for us. Is that we receive this new life. Walk in it. Amen? So then in verse 16, he goes on to say, let me just get it here. And so he's speaking of the new life that now comes, and he says this. He says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How different we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, and a new life has begun. See, stepping away from the old life means that even within myself, and it's a couple of places, towards myself, I need to look at myself differently. I need to look at myself and regard myself in a different way. But also the way that I then look at Donnie, I need to look at him in a different way. Amen? Do you agree with me? Do you understand why I'm saying that? And so when we talk about the ministry that we've been given, I believe there's two places, primary places, where this ministry plays out. See, we received Christ, and in this new life, we've been brought into his body. And being brought into his body now means that now I've got there's a work that needs to happen. There's a ministry that needs to take place, a work. And in that work, I believe there's two places where we need to focus, and tonight that I'm hoping to bring focus for us. The first one is within the body. What does it look like? What does that new life look like within the body? What does that ministry look like within the body? And secondly, what is that ministry outside of the body. Because that ministry is not just for the body. It's not just for the body to be built up. No, because this body needs to grow. Amen? And the message is a message to all the world. Jesus said that I've come to seek and save out those who are lost. So the message that we have received and that's having its way in us is a message that do need to go outside of the walls of the church. You hear me? And so I quickly want to stop in this part of within the church. Because I think it's so important for us that as we are in the church to realize we need to look at one another differently. We need to treat one another differently to how I've previously been treated and to how I previously felt if someone would wrong me. And that's actually the place where the ministry kind of comes and plays out. Are you following with me? John 13 says this. A new commandment, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. And so there's a ministry there that's working, that in the way that I'm treating Johan Ray, there is going to be proof that happens and that is shown of the new life that has happened in me and the new person that is living it out. And in the same way of how he treats for me. And as we love one another, so it is proven that we are all the disciples of Jesus, that we are all walking out and living out this new life. Amen? So, what does that look like when someone wrongs me? What does it look like when I don't get my way? Because in church, sometimes you have one thing to look a certain way, and then we don't always get our way. And I believe in this, that within the walls of the church or in the walls of the body, God is giving us a place to exercise how to love. So that as we go outside of these walls, that the love that has been exercised is now the love that has been proven. It's the love that has been tested. And it's a love that is now standing firm. So that when it goes outside to the world outside that don't easily forgive, that don't easily accept, that we get to stand firm and keep to the message that's been given us. That we keep to the line that God has given us, the mission that He's given us to go out in all the world. So when we speak about these things, there's a love that comes into us. And that love needs to be exercised. There's no space within the body of Christ for us, for me not to love Luke, for Luke. And if there's a voice in me, and there's a voice in me that goes, oh, Luke is like this and this. I need to realize that there's something about that that doesn't represent Christ at all. If there's a voice in me that go, Luke has done something to me. And in that place, I kind of like make it up like this is who he is. When we look throughout scripture, there's a consistent encouragement towards unity and towards loving. Amen? Make every effort in all circumstances. Now, if I allow a voice in my head to go like, oh man, Luke is like that and he's not going to change. What happens is I'm actually listening more to the voice of the enemy than what I'm allowing the Spirit of God to have its way and work inside of me. In Scripture, we read that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And so when I allow an accusing voice to lead me in how I treat, especially my fellow brother, I need to realize like I'm siding with the enemy and he's trying to find an ally. And so it comes on and it gives a reason as to why it is that we need to love one another. And this is what it says. It's because it's a gift from God. Amen? Let me just get it here. Verse 18. It says, and all this, 2 Corinthians 5, it says, and all this love, all this that we need to live out, and all this that has been given us, all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And so this love that we've received and into this body that we've been accepted and the sin that's been forgiven and taken away, it's been a gift from God. It's not something that I've attained. It's not because my face is beautiful. It's not because I've got a great personality. Because, no. It's a gift from God. And because it's a gift that's been given from God, it means that when I have this gift, and it's having its way in me, that the way that I look at others, that I can't all of a sudden treat them according to this standard that they need to work towards. No. I've been given a gift because there was no standard in me. There was nothing that I had to do or was able to do to make it even look like I'm able to stand here. No, it's been a gift from God. And so now when I look to you, Andre, I can't expect him to. No, I need to share the same gift that has been given to me. I need to look at him like that and say, I need to love you. Above all things, I need to find my way to love you. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. The works of ministry, the message of reconciliation. And it starts within the body. And so in Ephesians 4, a little bit later on, it actually gives us something of a way that we do this and practice this. And it says this in verse 15, it says, rather, speak the truth in love. Amen? Gift from God. It's been given freely. God has loved, he's given you, he's loved you, he's brought you in, he's reconciled you to him. Amen? And now he's saying, rather speak the truth in love. We are, and that's all of us, to grow up in every way into him who is the head. The head of what? The head of the body. Amen? Into Christ. From whom the whole body is joined to and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The body of Christ is this place where we get to exercise and build up and strengthen ourselves in the love of God. So that when we go out, that we go from a place where it's been tested and proven and seen to be true. And I think for us, for all of us as believers, we are quick to want to love people outside of the church. But sometimes very slow and very reluctantly want to exercise the true love of God within the church. When a brother does something to me to kind of like, I don't know, it's a lot of the times when someone does something to you within church, it's sometimes more telling of your perspective on of them than what it really is something that they did against you. Does that make sense? And I just felt for us and for I almost said Brackenfell, but for Pinehurst PM, that this is something that actually that the Lord wants you to excel in. And it's not to say that there's relationships that are strained. But sometimes just even for us, looking at one another and not seeing the best for one another is already a little bit of missing the mark of where God wants us. I was at a time with our young adults last night and just spending some time with them. And we, in some sense, had a little bit of the same conversation. Because relationships is one of those big things in church that is always tricky and sticky. You know, it can get us all stuck in a place. And I was saying to them, the thing is, when you look at cancer is something that's, it's in the body, but it's the body that is now turned on itself. And then it starts breaking down the body. And I believe relationships and bad relationships and unforgiveness that ends up coming from those bad ways of looking at one another is something that starts like a little bit of a cancer that ends up spreading through the whole body. And all that it does is the body breaks down itself. And I want to say to us that we are meant to make mistakes with one another. Because God has given us the training ground, which is the church, to exercise and train ourselves up in how to love. Because for each and everyone in the church that's within the body of God, they no longer look at one another from a worldly point of view and from a fleshy point of view. No, we look at one another now through the gift that's been given, through this new life that has been given to us as a gift, which none of us, no matter how good and how much you pray and whether you glow in the dark or whether you can recite all of Scripture, none of us sitting here today, including me, and I want to say me the least, have earned this. We've been given this. And from the basis of knowing that we have been given this, we are meant to measure out to one another a serious amount of grace. And it's so that this body can be built up and can be strong. Because there's another side to the works of ministry. It's the side too where there's a whole world out there that need to hear the gift of God that has come. The gift of God that God wants to measure out to them. And we don't want to get stuck with the gift of God in that church and for it to never make its way out. Amen? No, we actually want to be activated in going out. And so I want to carry on here. 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says this. So, and this is the ministry outside of the church. So we are Christ's ambassadors. This is where this gift, this is where we're meant to go, where we're meant to be. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. How beautiful is that? God is using us and how He's worked in us as the appeal into the world of saying, this is the gift that I've given. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Hey, how beautiful is that? For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. A different translation actually just said, God made Jesus to be sin. Not just the offering of sin, but he made him sin. And God dealt with sin so that we can be brought in to be made right with him. See, we, me and you, were called as ambassadors. God has given us this new life. This new life that is saying, like, I have chosen you. I washed you clean. I made you new. You're a new creation in me. And as that, it's where that scripture comes to mind, that we are not of this world any longer. No. We're now in this world. And we're meant to go to this world and speak to them the message and the wonder of our Christ. Amen? So then in chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. So as partners, as ambassadors, as partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. I mean, that line is very telling. It's very straight. Like, hey, if you're going to just not do anything with it, rather don't take it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. See, God has called us, me and you, to be ambassadors, to be partners, to be those that are working with him into the world. And so tonight here, as we're standing and sitting here, I'm standing, you're sitting, just if you were wondering, the thing that we need to know is that God has called us and he's given us, for us as Josh Jane and 412, man, it's such a privilege to be part of this work. It's such a privilege that God brought us. Andrew has this line that he says, it's more important what you get saved into than what you get saved out of. And what we have been saved into is such a beautiful expression of God's way, of God's kingdom, of God's church, of what he puts us out for us in the Bible to be the form that makes up his body. We've got such a great privilege. And God has done that so that all of us can come into this beautiful body that he is wanting to make us part of. But then there comes this responsibility with the gift of God that has been given, of how he made us part. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to look a certain way. We didn't have to be born from a certain family. We didn't need to pay money. No, it's been given a free gift. And he's brought us into this body. And now he says to us, let this salvation, let this new life have its way in you and work it out through you. And I believe the call here for us tonight, and I'm ending here. I believe the call for us here tonight is to come to the Lord and say, Lord, what kind of an example am I to this gift that you've been given, that you've given me? Is this gift that you've given me, is it evident to all those around me, not just to those outside, but to those especially on the inside? In the way that I treat them, in the way that I love them, in the way that they can make mistakes with me, is it evident that I've received your love and it's making its work inside me? Because the ultimate thing for God is not that it just needs to stay here, but it's actually that it needs to go out. But unless it's proven and worked out and exercised here, it actually will carry no authority out there. And I believe God is coming and saying, like, hey, allow me to work in you. So maybe if the team, if you can come up. And I just want to have a moment for us to respond to this. And maybe just there where you're at, if I can ask you to just close your eyes for a moment. And I think we can tonight, as we hear, we can try to be very, very spiritual about things, or we can just take the word and apply it. And I believe one of the most simplest forms tonight to apply it is to ask ourselves this question. As I'm sitting here, is my heart clean? Is my thoughts clean towards the rest of the body? Is there a leader that's maybe felt to you like they've been too heavy-handed with you? Or maybe someone that kind of you shared your heart and in that place they made a mistake and didn't necessarily handle it the right way. Maybe it's just someone that did something, not even knowing that they did something to offend you or to hurt you. But you've caused that situation to actually define the way that you look at them. And it's actually in some way caused you to actually go back into the old self and not live in the new life that has been given to you. So I want us to, for a moment here, just to bring ourselves before the Lord. See, because one day we're going to stand before Him. And it's easy for us to sing songs and send messages and have prophetic words. But if at the very core of what the message of the gospel is a message of love. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of reconciliation, where wrong has been not being held against us, but it's been taken away. That's the core of the gospel. If we fail in that, we fail in everything. And I believe God wants to come tonight and He wants to set us again free of that and again give us the place to exercise and learn how to love one another and learn how to, in some sense, exercise our love on one another, even in the places of where we make mistakes. But we can carry on and forgive and speak about it, and we can grow. And so there where you are at, I want to say this is a moment between you and God. And I want to encourage you in this moment to respond to God. In whichever way, if it is to stand up, if it is to bend down on your knees, but make right with God and bring it before God and actually say, Lord, help me to forgive, help me to let go. See, God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. And that's the one thing that is actually most important to God. It's not to be a prophet, it's not to be an apostle, it's to actually invite the world back and call them back to God. So because the love of God compels us to those who are lost, how much more does it compel us to make right with one another and be those examples and those reflections of His love and His grace and His forgiveness that He's poured out to us as individuals. So, my prayer and my hope is that for all of us sitting here, that we have given ourselves the opportunity to make right with God. But that's one step. But there is something more for us to step into. It's now to say that, God, I want to be equipped in growing in love. God, I want to grow in love in Your body, so that I can be that example of love outside to the world out there. Amen? Just speaking with Donnie, it's what he's also feeling. It's like, actually, for us, we need to now be able to respond to and say, Lord, would You now come and equip us? God, would You now come and help us and work with us? Because here we are. We don't want to waste this beautiful gift and message has been given to us. We want to exercise this work of ministry so that the body can be built up in love and come into health and grow into strength. Amen. And that's a good thing. That's an exciting thing. Because we become partners with God in what He's doing, both in the church, but also into the world. And so tonight, if you are here and you say, like, hey, I want to be equipped. God, would You come and help me? Would You come and work in me? I want to ask You if we can respond, and just maybe as a sign, it doesn't mean anything to me, but just as a sign for all of us, for ourselves, to stand up and lift our hands towards God and to say, God, here I am. Come and work in me. And so if that's you tonight, I want to invite you to come and stand with me.